So the last time we spoke, from Ephesians 2, Paul was telling the church in Ephesus how they were before they accepted Christ into their hearts. And he was trying to get them to embrace who they were in Christ Jesus. And we have to agree with who God says we are, because if we don't do that, we can't really become who God wants us to be, what he has meant for us to be. We can't walk in that. And so Paul was trying to let the Gentiles know that they used to be outsiders. They used to be excluded in a world without hope. But now they have been chosen. They've been adopted into God's family. And so the uniting of the Jews and Gentiles into one people. And so back then they were tearing down the walls of hostility because the Jews and the Gentiles hated one another. And so he was trying to get them, we're joined together now. We're a family. We're one. And so Paul, remember too, he spoke and he said, I received the gospel through Jesus himself. It wasn't anything that he did to earn it. It was a gift from God. And so God's grace was extended to the Gentiles for all to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And no one is excluded from his love and from his grace, because we talked about the 22 Nazi war criminals and over half of them coming to know Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as their Lord and Savior before they were executed and sentenced. And it was all because of Chaplain Henry Garrick, who was called to preach the gospel to them. They were the most hated men in the world, but he saw them as people needing a Savior. And so again, no one, regardless of their sin, is beyond the reach of the gospel. So Ephesians 3:1, let's just start reading. It says, for this reason, again, I'm reading out of the Amplified because I just love it. It says, for this reason, because I preach that you and believing Jews are joint heirs, I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus. On behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was entrusted to me, it was for your benefit, and that by divine revelation the mystery was made known to me, as I have already written in brief. And so I looked up the word mystery in the Webster's, and it said that it gave me two definitions, and it says it's something not understood or beyond understanding. And then I thought this was great, because it also said it is a religious truth that one can know only by revelation and cannot fully understand. So Paul is basically saying that the mystery was made known to him by a divine revelation, and that mystery was God's secret, basically. And so he begins to tell us what that mystery is in verse number 6. But let's start from 4. It says, by referring to this, when you read it, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not disclosed to mankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. And it's by the Holy Spirit, it's this, that the Gentiles are now joint heirs with the Jews and members of the same body and joint partakers and sharing in the same divine promise in Christ Jesus through their faith in the good news of salvation. I had to almost stop, because I kept going from scripture to scripture to scripture, because I'm like, I can just go on forever. My lesson could just be reading the Word of God, because I'm like, this was just so enlightening to me. Because First Peter, it says that the prophets searched the things that they themselves wrote to try and uncover the secrets that were there. It's things that they couldn't understand and they didn't know. But the mystery was that Jesus was going to come and he was going to unite the Jews and the Gentiles together. Galatians 3:28 says the mystery that the church would be made up of Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female, Greek and barbarian, and that everybody, all inclusive, would be one in Jesus Christ. The mystery is also in Colossians, and I love how this reads out of the Passion translation. This is for Deb. It says, there is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations. But now it's being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know about it. Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. It has become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity with his power flowing through me to present to every believer the revelation of being his perfect one in Jesus Christ. Man, that was so good. I'm getting blessed just right. I'm like, yes, this is so good. Amen, amen, amen.
She's
amen
herself.
I'm telling you, it's so, the word of God has just become so, so enlightened to me. It's, I hunger for it. It's like, oh man, I don't even turn on the TV anymore. And to be honest, I'll spend 4 and 5 hours and realize I'm still studying the word of God. And it's like, okay, I got to stop. Because I've been here all day. You know, Barry's like, you've been in here. I said, I know. I have been in here all day. But it's like God is just showing me so much, and his word is becoming so alive to me. And it's like, God, what do you want us to hear? What do you want us to understand? What do you want us to grasp? And so I love Ephesians, just like Sharon loved Romans. Man, I'm loving Ephesians. And so God is now showing that his focus is on the church. Okay, because he's uniting every believer, he's extending his grace. And we know that when in Acts, when Jesus told them to go to the upper room and to pray and to wait, what happened? They were praying. And as they were praying, the power of God descended. And so the power of God was in them. And guess what? They added to the church daily, 5,000. They kept adding. That's the power of God working in their life, and that's what we need in our church today. So let's read verse 7. Of this gospel, I was made a minister by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace, which is undeserved, was graciously given to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the incomprehensible riches of Christ. The plan of the mystery was kept hidden through the ages in the mind of God, who created all things. So now through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God in all of its countless aspects might now be made known, revealing the mystery to the angelic rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This is in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart at my sufferings on your behalf, for they are your glory and honor. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. May he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his spirit in your inner self. And this is the indwelling, your innermost being. It's your personality. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, which is God's people, the width, the length, the height, and the depth of his love, that you may come to know the love of Christ, which far surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled up throughout your whole being to all the fullness of God. And it says, so that you have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, that's infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, our hopes, our dreams, according to his power that is at work in us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'm telling you what, God's plan is revealed for all to know that the salvation is found only in Jesus. And it's all those who call upon the Lord are going to receive the benefits from that salvation. And Paul tells them what those are in verse 13. And it's not to be discouraged over his afflictions on their behalf too. Because if I was Paul, I'd say, hey, pray that I get out of here. That wasn't his prayer, not for his release. He says, hey, I'm in here because of you. I'm preaching the gospel for you. And so he's suffering on behalf of the Gentiles so that he could proclaim to them the good news. And he says that they are for your glory and for your honor. Wow. And it was for the sake of the gospel. I think that this is one of the most powerful prayers that Paul has written, and he's written many, but this prayer is powerful. Prayer is such a powerful tool to us as believers, and because it enables us to connect with God, and it also we begin to experience his power working in our lives. And so Paul is persistent in praying for the church. He's persistent in praying for others. And so his prayer was so that we would truly understand the love of God and to know the power of the Spirit that dwells within each of us. You got to remember, back then there was so much hate and division between the Gentiles and the Jews. And so with so much hate, and we can put this with our, you know, blacks versus the whites. There's so much hatred, so much division. This is something they grew up with. They've known this for centuries. They grew up in this hate, this division. And so he's trying to say, hey, listen, we got to change our thinking now because we're in Christ Jesus. They're not your enemy. We're all in the family of God. And so he was really trying to get this in their spirits to know that they are in Christ Jesus and they can love and be united as one people. It's one of those things where this still hasn't changed overnight as far as the racism in our country. And so just think about that and how difficult that would have been, you know, for them. So one of the things that I noticed too in this is the Gentiles, they actually feared God. Because the Jewish people was like, you know, Jesus came for us. We're God's chosen people. You all, good luck, you know. And so the Gentiles had to also shift their thinking and say, wait a minute, God is for me. Okay, so that was something, I'm telling you, even within counseling, when we're trying to counsel people, say, you know what, God is for you. It's hard for them even now to understand and grasp the love that God has for them. And it's hard for me because, I mean, I've always known it, but it's so hard for a person that really doesn't truly believe that God loves them. And again, there's so much hurt and everything going on in our lives. But to me, I shake my head. I'm like, I just want them to grasp God loves you, you know, and we try to speak that into their life. And so again, they were once enemies and now they are one unit. One family of God. They're the same family. And so I love verse 14 because something else that spoke to me when I was reading this, it says, as he prays, he was kneeling before the Father. So I found this very interesting because if you look at the Jewish history, even today, Jewish prayers are offered standing up. And so doing a research, it says the only time that Jews and Greeks ever kneeled was when they were in the presence of a king. So, we know on the road to Damascus, what God did. The light shone. Jesus spoke. He fell to his knees. And it was probably out of fear because he didn't know who it was. Because he said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. You know? And so I believe at this point, he knew the reverence and the honor of the King of Kings. And so when he was bowing his knee in honor and reverence. And I don't care how you pray. You can pray standing up. You can pray sitting down. You can pray prostrate. There's so many different ways that we can pray. But I'll tell you what, when you're overwhelmed by the power and the presence of God, you can't help but fall to your knees in worship and awe of the King. I'll tell you what, that happened to me Sunday. I mean, we were at the end of worship, and it was like, I just got just the breath of the love of God. And I'm like, I just had to bow because I felt his presence, and his presence was here. And I know Patty was on her knees. I mean, it was just the overwhelming presence of God. Sometimes you just have to kneel and just be quiet before him in awe of who he is. And so I believe that Paul recognized him as his King. So before he would bow to other kings, now he's bowing to his King. So it says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Whom every family in heaven. I'm like, what does that mean? And it was like, God created the world. There's a heavenly realm and there's an earthly realm. God created this whole universe. And so there's a family in heaven. Everyone, the angels, that is God's family. Just as we are his family. And so it's saying there's a heavenly realm and an earthly realm, and we are all grouped within that. We are in the group in heaven and earth because what? We're dependent upon God. Even the angels are dependent upon God, and we're dependent upon God. And so when he mentions name, I believe Paul was letting them know, again, and us reaffirming to them, we are the children of God. Because I think it was hard for them to grasp that. And he's like, no, I want you to get this. You are children of God now. We are family. In Ephesians chapter 1, I was looking back and I remember that Paul prayed that their eyes of their heart would be enlightened. And that was in verse 16. And so in chapter 3 here, his prayer was that they would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in their inner man. And so the word strengthen means to be made mighty. And how? Paul says it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, I kept getting all these scriptures. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it's for what? It's for strengthening our inner man. Joyce Myers, I think, says it best. She says, your outer life is your reputation with people, but the inner life is our reputation in heaven. And that's our reputation with God. So that's one way to look at it. And I know we've talked in the past, Sharon has done a great teaching on our inner man and our outer man. And it's great teaching. I know, I'm sure it's in our recording somewhere, but it's so good. Paul also said that our outward man perishes, but yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. When we look in the mirror, we see a few more wrinkles. At least I do. But inwardly, we're being renewed daily. And Paul could say, hey, when you look at me, you see that I'm getting older. You see how I am suffering from all the results of the years of persecution. But don't you see my inward man, how I'm being sustained? I'm being refreshed. I'm being rejuvenated. So we need to look at that. Our inner man is being renewed daily. He also prayed that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. I found a story online. It was a story of a little girl who was undergoing heart surgery. And so the doctor met with the girl to ease her fear about what he was going to do. And he began to tell her that he was going to open up her heart and he was going to fix it. And she said, well, if you see Jesus, tell me what he looks like. She said, because he lives in there. Well, the doctor was an atheist. And so he, of course, was brushing this off, and he was trying to tell her all the medical jargon of everything that he was going to be doing. But he had a soft spot for this little girl. And so as he was doing the surgery, it wasn't going well. And so everything, the levels started plummeting. The doctor ended up handing off the surgery to his junior associates because he knew there was nothing he could do. She was going to die on the table. And he just walked away, and he knelt down on the side, and he just put his hands in his lap with it on his head, and he started, just couldn't get all the stuff that she said about Jesus being in her heart. And so he couldn't get him out of his mind, and he said, Jesus, if you're real and you live in Angela's heart as she believes, then do a miracle now in her life. Moments later, the younger surgeons come out and they rush to him and they say, Doctor, we don't know what's happening. Her blood pressure, her heart rate, her oxygen levels are all normalizing, and the blood is pumping to her heart now. And so he gets up and he finishes his surgery. So she makes it. And so after she wakes up, the doctor comes to see her, and the child asked, did you see Jesus? Did he say anything to you? And the doctor replied to her and said, I have opened many hearts in 30 years, but your heart was the one who opened my eyes to see Jesus. Because I'm telling you, that's who God is. You know, we've told stories of people. Brian actually shared a story that it was in a counseling session, but he shared a story about this. He was running. And as he was running, he had this dog that was part greyhound, and he just saw a squirrel. And of course, Brian, out of nowhere, just flatlined on his face. And while he was down there, he realized he saw this beautiful just garden of just wildflowers. And so this lady was out there, and he says, is this your flower garden? And she says, no, it's not. And he goes, has this always been here? And she says, yeah, it has. And he's like, he had never seen it before. So many times we're so busy in our lives, we don't see things. And so he's like, do you think it'd be okay for me to pick some flowers? And she goes, oh, sure. So he just picked up a small bouquet, and he picked up purple flowers. And so he got a call from someone, I believe, and I can't remember who he said it was, but it doesn't really make any difference. But he felt the unction that he was supposed to go to this other lady and give her some flowers. And so when he arrived, she had just said, God, if you're real, you're going to send someone with a purple flower. In walks Brian with a big bouquet of purple flowers. So it's those things. It's like God cares. He hears. And I'm telling you, and if we're obedient when he puts those unctions in us, that's how we're showing the love of Christ. And it's real to other people, because he's using us as vessels to show that there is a God who hears, and he's real for you. And so, and he can change other people's lives.
Yeah, good.
So our heart is the symbol of our life. It's our entire being. It says, it's who we are. It's what we do. Because the word says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's the source of our true emotions and our will. When Jesus dwells within our innermost being, he is the one that's going to direct us to live the way he lived. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not one that says, you have, you know, here's the law, you got to do this, because we're not perfect. But with his power inside of us, he helps us to live like he lives. We want to be that example to the world. Because I tell you what, if the world has not seen any change or any difference than the church, how are we going to win the world to Jesus when there's no difference? Okay? And again, back to that story with, he helps us love like Chaplain Henry Garrick. That was the power of a supernatural power of love that only God could have given him, because he was so repulsed in his natural man to even be able to be a chaplain to these 22 Germans that killed so many Jewish people. But yet God called him to that, and he had to look past the sin and look at a sinner that was not beyond God's hope. Right. The world had already convicted them and said they're useless, they deserve what they get. But God said, no, I've got something better. And he knew which ones were going to accept him as their Lord and Savior. And I'll tell you what, some of those Jews that are in heaven, they're going to realize, wow, these men that put me to death are here. Because God can do great things. And we have to realize, if you've been praying for a son or a daughter, lost prodigal, to come home, I tell you what, don't give up. It's going to happen. Okay, that's the faith that we can hold on to. I looked up, and it's funny, I got this morning. See, I had to stop. I'm like, Janice, you got to stop your teaching today. But I found some things that Mother Teresa, because she was a great example of God's love and how she showed love to other people. And so I looked to see some of her most famous quotes, and I thought these were so good. So Mother Teresa, one of her quotes was, spread love everywhere you go. Another one was, let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. She said, I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. I love that one. She said, I believe God loves the world through us, through you and me. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. That's a good one. And she says, love is a fruit in season at all times and within reach of every hand. So good. So Paul's prayer, again, going back to him, it's that they would fully understand and know how much God loves them. And he prays that they would be filled to the fullness of God. And so he ends his prayer saying that God is able to do above and beyond anything that we ask. There's not a prayer that God can't answer. And do you know that if God says no, that's still an answer? It may not be the answer that you want, but it's still an answer. Because a lot of people say, oh, God didn't answer me. No, he probably just said no. We can't even think of something beyond the greatness and the ability of God. That's how great he is. But understanding who he is and receiving his power that's been gifted to us, we can reflect on his greatness, on his glory that's so deserving. And I'll go back to what he said, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So God can do so much more in us and through us, and it's more than we can even imagine. I'm telling you, that just, I'm like, man, God, you can, I can't even imagine what you want to do through me. That's how great he is. It's more than what I can even think that he can do. And he can do it if I just be obedient to him. So it's so important that we grasp the love and the truth of God's love for us. Because that is hard for people to understand. They don't understand the truth. They believe the lies of the enemy, that God doesn't love them. He's up there judging them. And they're never going to be good enough. I'll tell you what, with counseling, I've learned it's been good. I mean, Deb knows too. Anybody in Barb, anybody that's done counseling, I'm telling you, when you begin to see the hurting people and how the enemy has used their mind as that battlefield, and they can't even get beyond believing that God is for them. And you got to break down and cut off all this stuff that they've gone through for so many years because they built up a wall. And it is hard. We can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can reveal things. And I'll tell you what, and then when they grasp hold of, yeah, you see it in their face going, ah, I know exactly where that started, why I got that wrong thinking. And when they get it, we don't have to do anything. It's like immediately they start saying, oh yeah, I need to renounce this. And guess what? They get set free because of the revelation knowledge of what Jesus does in them, not necessarily from us. We're vessels, we can be used, we can help. But it's really God revealing it to them. And so he's our counselor, right? That's what the Bible says. So Romans 5:8, God clearly shows and proves his love for us by, it says, by the fact that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. John 13:34-35, I know I've got tons of scriptures. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It says, if you have love for one another. They're not going to see that we're disciples of Jesus if we're not showing love. So we have to have the love in order to show them. God is love. Jesus is love. He tells us to be rooted and grounded in it. So it's a love that transcends all of our human comprehension. We can't even comprehend what God can do. It's love beyond measure. It surpasses all of our understanding. But he wants us to know this love intimately and to fill us with all the fullness of God. He wants to fill every part of us, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our deeds, our character, our emotions. How many of us fail in those areas where we're really not showing the love of Christ? Because we allow our flesh to rise up, and that begins to speak louder than the word of God in us and the love of God in us. And so we need to be mindful of our character. We need to be mindful of our words. We need to be mindful of our thoughts and where the enemy is trying to take us, because he's trying to take us down a dark road. He's trying to tell us lies and put fear and doubt into our minds. And so we have to recognize where that's coming from. And so we have to have God fill every part of us, even our mind, where he's renewing us day by day. Just the scriptures talk about, God, renew my mind today. Just start it out. God, renew my mind as soon as you get up, because the enemy's going to come at you with something. And I've shared a story with you about when I was having my head issues. And I knew on the dot when I would have my next pain. And I began writing it in a notebook. And I'm like, okay, 7:10, and then it's going to be at 8:10, and then it's going to be at 9:10. And I would sit there, and I would keep looking at the clock. And it's like, okay, I've got 1 minute. I got 1 minute. Just get ready, Janice. Oh, there it goes. There's my head. There's my head. There's my head. And then it would go away, and it would last. And then I would sit there, and I'd go, okay, my next one's going to be at 8:10. On the dot. I'm telling you what, it was on the dot. And so I started living in fear. Fear began to overtake me because I was constantly looking at that clock. I constantly was foreseeing this going to happen to me. And it got to the point where Janice, I'm like, Janice, you know better than this. What are you doing? And I had to come against the enemy, because he was already saying, this is going to happen. And I said, no, it's not. My God is able to fix this. I don't have to sit here and look at the clock and expect I'm going to get a pain at 8:10. My God can do this, and he can cause that not to happen. And I had to rise up and take away. And I said, fear, leave me in Jesus' name. Again, you don't have to have somebody pray for you. You tell the devil himself, fear, you get out of my mind. Because I have a God who is a healer, and he's going to heal me. And I do not have to expect this pain. And I'm not going to expect it. And I tell you what, over the next couple days, I was not even looking at my clock. I wasn't looking at my notebook. And it was like, it didn't matter to me. Yeah, I had a couple pains here and there, but I wasn't glued to the clock expecting it to happen. And then eventually it went away. Because I was having them so much, it was like, oh, wait, I think I only had one pain today. Thank you, Jesus! You know? And so I'm telling you, just that little bit, I saw the enemy take a foothold in my life and what he was trying to do to me, and I walked right into it. The enemy is he's like a fox. He knows what he wants to do to you. And just that little bit with me writing down, I'm sitting here, I'm writing down when my pains are going to happen. How stupid is that? And it was like, Janice, what are you doing? And I had to shake myself and say, Spirit man, rise up within me. Because the enemy just got in there. And I had to overcome that. And I'm telling you, if you can just realize what the enemy is trying to do to you, and you say, I am not receiving this. I don't even care when the pain comes, but my God's going to heal me from it. I'm walking in healing. Just so you know this, devil, I am walking in healing. And so our character, our emotions, everything within us, we have to give it to God. We have to let God pour his fullness of his glory in us. Because he wants to overflow in us. And everything that we're going to through too, I've always said this over and over and over again. God, what are you trying to teach me in this? And guess what? I knew exactly what he was trying to teach me in that situation. So whatever you're involved in, whatever trial, whatever seems that it's a stress, or you're having anxiety about something, or you're just feeling restless, what is God teaching you in that moment? And most of the time, it's just to have faith and to trust him that he's got it. He's in control of it. And so if we can just allow the work of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, because Jesus is in us, his Spirit is in us. And again, we can't achieve all this stuff on our own. Physically, we can't. But with him, we can do these things. It's by the word of God. It's speaking the word of God and really grasping how much he loves us, that we're capable. He can heal me. I don't have to do anything to earn his healing. He already did it on the cross. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to pray a certain prayer. I don't have to pray a certain length of time in order to get it. I don't have to fast, although it does say that some things come out with prayer and fasting, but don't make it a ritual saying, I have to do this. You let God tell you, this is what I have for you. And we're diets and everything else. Oh, Lord Jesus, well, that's a whole new thing. But I tell you what, you can't do it on your own. I'm a prime example. You can't. And you got you, and I am. I'm going, God, I'm wanting that chocolate bar. You're gonna have to help me. You said self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. God, I need self-control right now. But he can. So when we're drawing near to God in prayer and the studying of his word, we can really begin to grasp the love that God has for us. I want to read Romans 8. And I know Sharon taught on this, but I like how this says it. It says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us was raised to life for us. Is in the presence of God at this very moment, he's sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. I am absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing living or dead, angelic, demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. I'm telling you what, if you're reading scriptures, go and read other ones. And I know sometimes they kind of embellish things, but I do like how some of these Bible and the versions read, because it really puts you in that. It explains it to you. Because I know I've talked to a couple people that say, man, when I read the Bible, I don't understand it. I said, well, are you reading King James Version? Yeah. Don't read that version. Read something else. A lot of them say, I don't even know where to start. But I'm just not getting anything out of it. And so I'm like, find one scripture. And whatever you're in, whatever is going on in your life, if you want to scriptures on healing, if you want scriptures on faith, look it up. Put faith in the Bible app, and it'll tell you all the scriptures. Then just work on one scripture and then read it in all the other versions. Because something's going to click, and it's going to speak to you. You're going to get divine revelation and that truth put in you. What does he say? We've got to memorize and get the word of God, hide it in our hearts so that we don't sin against God. So we've got to memorize that scripture. And I tell you what, if that revelation in the Message or in the Amplified Bible takes you into studying, wow. Because with the Amplified, they really break down the Greek and the Hebrew and stuff. And so they put more words in it. And it's like, wow, that's really what that means. That's awesome. So we are amazing women of God. I just want you to know that. Some trials that come into our lives, sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel abandoned. We feel like maybe that we're in that desert time, that God's not really listening. And we feel like we're needing that answer, and we're still trying to hear what that is. We're trying to get out of this circumstances. Most of the time, God may not remove you from the circumstance, but he wants to change you in the circumstance. And so I've told the story about Florida when I knew for sure that God called us to Florida. I knew it, but I didn't want to go. I didn't want to leave my kids. And I battled a depression time when we moved down there. And I remember the day that I had just had it with Janice. I said, okay, God, I give up. I want to be content to where you called me. Because I was angry. I don't want to be here. There's nothing here for me. I don't have a friend. I don't have nothing. I'm alone. It's just me and Barry. Yeah, I know it's just Barry and I, but I don't have any friendship. I'm just stuck in this house. There's nothing for me. He's gone all day, and there's just Janice. I'm just having a pity party. But it's like, I had to get to the point where, God, I am going to be content with where you have me. And then that's about the time that he started opening up churches for us. And then I said, okay, God, this is my prayer. I want one friend. Bring me one friend. I'm not asking for two. I'm not being greedy. I just want one. Send me one friend that can speak into my life and I can speak into her life. Little did I know that church that we attended, I saw a purple-haired lady sitting up there on the keyboard in a Baptist church, and I was like, what in the world did they let her up on the platform for? This is a Baptist church. I can't believe they let her up on the platform. But my attention was constantly drawn to her. It wasn't even thinking that she'd be my friend. So we were like walking out, and next thing I hear is, hey! And I'm like, turn around. My name's Tracy. What's your name? I'm like, Janice. This lady's like way out there. And all of a sudden, she just started talking to me. I'm so glad you're here. And, you know, hey, let's go get coffee. You know, she asked me the story. And, yeah, I'm here. Just moved here. And, well, let's go get coffee. And I'm like, okay. And so we got coffee, and we started doing this on a weekly basis. And then, oh my goodness, and I'm like, okay, God. And she would cry, and I would cry. And I'm like, it was like we were encouraging one another in the places where we were at. And I tell you what, she has been my best friend from Florida. And it's funny because we're going to be going down there in another week. And I told her, I said, hey, we're going to Florida. She goes, oh, great, awesome, I get to see you. I'm like, well, it's close to Miami. She goes, oh, no. So it's 6 hours away. She goes, oh, my friend's going to be in Florida, and I'm not even going to be able to see her. So, but I told her, I said, Barry's got some other trips, so we'll be going down. It'll be about a three-hour drive from her. And I said, we'll work it out. We're gonna see each other. So, but again, don't be surprised. I mean, God honored my prayer. I said, God, I need one friend. And she was really my one friend that I had. And I'm not one that has lots and lots of friends. I've always, like, God give me, I'm good with a small group. And then God calls me to pastor. See my shirt? Love your flock. How appropriate is this shirt? But he's broadened my friendships that I used to be very protective, because it's like I just want one, because you come and you go, and it's like, why have friends when you're gonna move all the time? You know, things like the enemy, you know, does things, and so you always stay closed in, and so you don't really put yourself out there. But anyway, so we'll keep moving on here. I don't know why I went there, but God wants to change us in our circumstances. I know many of us have had diagnosis and words spoken over us and saying, this is what you have. We've been waiting for healing to be manifested. And I just want to encourage all of us that are in that situation that God knows, and he knows our hearts. He knows that we want off that medication. I'm not telling you to get off your medication, but God's going to tell you when he's healed you and you won't need that medication anymore. And I know that that's going to come a time and a place for us, because we've talked about it, and God knows my heart. And he's like, okay, I gotcha. I understand. But he's like, but you need to eat this way, Janice, in order to get off your medication. And I'm like, well, God, I can't do it on my own. I don't have any self-control. He says, but give it to me, and I'm going to help you. Tracy, same thing with her. I mean, that girl, discipline. I mean, she makes pumpkin bread and brownies, and she does not even lick the spoon. I'm like, how do you do that? Because when I'm making brownies, I gotta at least lick the spatula. When she goes, I don't. I just say, God, you gotta help me not to do that. And I'm like, I guess I don't say that. I'm like, boy, that was really good. I don't say, God, help me not to lick the brownie, because I really want to lick the brownies. The cookie dough, it's so good, just a little bit. But I know that it's during those times we got to recognize who God is in us. We have to recognize that he's still working. He sees us in our situations. But he's also given us the strength and the power to stand with boldness and get us through that. Because again, I've talked about how the enemy wants to come in. He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak fear. He wants us to cower. He wants us to have depression. He wants all this to hit us. And I know I'm dealing with a person that's going through that right now, that's kind of in our life. And I tell you what, when someone's got anxiety, I'm telling you what, when you've not really experienced someone with anxiety and you see them have an anxiety attack, wow. I mean, it's frightening how the enemy just comes on their natural body. And they're affected physically. They're shaking. They can't stop shaking. Their mind is being tormented. It's saying terrible things. It's saying you're dying, you're this, the worst thing that you can think of is trying to make you believe that as a truth instead of a lie. And that's why people have that anxiety. But if we can just get them to say, listen, what's the Bible say? Don't be anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Because we have to let him know, okay, God, I am having an anxiety attack. This is really, I'm in a place here. I can sense that the enemy wants to really draw me out of my faith. God, I need you. I need you to stand strong in me right now. I need that power of the Holy Spirit to rise up within me so that I can stand boldly to fight against what the enemy is trying to put on me. Okay, so that's what we have to do. We have to overcome, and we have to align ourselves with the Word of God. If something's coming at you, get in the Word of God. Start praying Scripture, because I tell you what, when you speak the Word of God, the enemy has to flee. I mean, even Satan knew Scriptures. He used it against Jesus in the wilderness. And Jesus says, but the Word of God also says. So that's what we need to learn how to do. When the enemy is coming at us, because some people say, well, I got this, but I didn't know if this was from Satan or the devil. And so then we have to try to say, okay, is this edifying? Would Jesus say this to you? Well, no. Okay, then it's not Jesus. And so you have to really tell people, think about what is coming into your mind and say, would Jesus be telling me this? And if you can really say, no, he wouldn't, then say, okay, Satan, I rebuke this thought in the name of Jesus. I know what God's word says. And it says this. Find the Scriptures, write them down, and begin to speak the word of God into those situations, because that's when the power of God comes upon you and you can overcome any trial that he puts our way. Because he said there's nothing that's going to be put on us that we will not find a way of escape. And it's through the power of the Spirit of God. So we need to stop limiting what God can do. And we need to pay more attention to the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We need to be like Paul and encourage ourselves in the Lord, in his power and might. I made these because when I was writing this, I'm like, you know what? This is good. I'm going to hand these out to the ladies. And they basically say, I have a God who is greater than anything I might face today. He has given me his strength to stand and the faith to believe that no matter what I face, I will walk in peace, knowing he is creating and answering those things beyond my imagination. And so you can put this in your bathroom, put it next to your bedstand, but definitely take one of these, because it's something that we need to look at every day and understand the love of God and what he has for us. Because I'm telling you, God is greater than anything that we're facing, and he is going to give us that strength to stand. And that's the love of God. The power that can alter molecular structures within our bodies. When God does something, it's big. It goes beyond our wildest imaginations. And so I wrote this prayer here, but I'm kind of finished. But I definitely want to pray over you guys. And I just want to pray that God would begin to give you guys the fullness of his love, and that he would begin to allow you to share that fullness. Because once we get full of Christ, we can't help it. It's an overflow. We got to give it away. Because in the last days, again, God's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot going on, even with the youth, and there's a lot of stuff. But I'm telling you what, God is showing us a love. He's showing me a love. And I'll tell you what, and I know that when I started on all this stuff and things were happening, because so many times when people do things, or there's a disrespect, or words are spoken harshly against you, it's hard to love those people, because you want to give up on them. They're like, well, they don't want God. So we wash our hands of them, just like that chaplain. The world said, why are you going to minister to those Nazis? You're a traitor. God called him to that task, and it was a hard task. And he even said, God, this is the hardest prayer I've ever had to pray, because I am physically sick when I think about what those men have done. And yet you're calling me to go into each cell and shake their hand and show them the love of God? I would have thought they would be beyond reach. They already made their decision. They killed Jewish people. They don't love God. They hate God. There's something in them that God said, they're not beyond my reach. I still have hope for them. And I'm going to use this man. This man is going to be obedient, and he's going to go into that cell. He wanted to show them the love and the respect, even by holding their hands, the very hands that killed babies, women, children. And God allowed him to show the extent of love for their humanity and for their souls. They were not beyond reach. And then knowing that over half of them went to the gallows saying, I know my God, and he has shown me mercy, and he's shown me grace.
This has just shown me so much. To really see examples of love and how we lack that love. And it's like, God, give me the heart that you had. Even as Jesus was hanging on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. And in our natural mind, we can't do that. We can't. But through him, we can. And we got to understand that God wants us to show love. Because how is the world going to really come to know him unless we show the love of Jesus? And I've had to repent because I have felt like there's no hope. I've felt like this person has acted this way for 20 years. I've spoken this, and I'm just admitting it, even through counseling. It's like sometimes you look at a person and you say, they're not going to change. Am I wasting my time?
You know something I learned this when I got saved is the fact that, you know, we get spoken against so much, mm-hmm. and so much fed into our minds that we're useless, we're no good,
it is.
Ugly.
It is.
You know, all you want is this and that, you're selfish, and we get that fed into us, mm-hmm. and it tears us down
it
to
does.
The point that we think the same things of ourselves. So I realized when I got saved that, mm-hmm. and God just told me, you have to love yourself first.
Yes.
And if you don't love yourself,
how can you love others?
Me or anybody else.
And that is so true. And it's like we've got to get to the point where, I mean, and I think through the counseling, I know Sharon isn't doing a whole lot more, and maybe that's the heart of the counselor coming on me. You know, where God's taking me, because I used to say, I don't want to counsel these people. There's no way I'm counseling people. I have no mercy. And, you know, and Barry has said that. So we've flipped, you know. There's times that, you know, I feel like, oh, I'm just given the word of God. Just read the word of God. This is what you got to do. And it's so hard because to me that's easy. But to them it's not easy. And so now I'm like, okay, God has given me the love and the understanding of what truly is happening within this person. And I just know this is what you do. Just do it. And it's like, but Janice, there's a lot more that you're not seeing. Okay? There's the inner man. There's that stuff that's going on inside of them that the enemy has just compounded. So as much as we're rooted and grounded in God's love, they're rooted and grounded in all these lies that the enemy's put into them. And so that's been strong. That's been a stronghold in their life. And so God is showing me, okay, Janice, be patient here. Because it's not a quick work. I wish it was. I mean, God can deliver people quickly. But when there's been a compounding and they're rooted and grounded in all the negative and the trauma and the hurt, it's hard to get that person to where they need to be. And I think that's why we've changed it from counseling to discipleship, because we might be counseling someone for 5 years. But there's some people that need that discipleship. They need that understanding. And one day, they're going to read that Bible. They're going to get that revelation, because that's been my prayer. God, reveal it to them. They've got to see it for themselves. We can speak it into their life. We can tell them what they have to do. But if they don't do it, it's got to be them. They've got to be hunger for it. They've got to see it. I can't see God for them. They have to see God for themselves. And they got to believe that he's working in them. And so I think that's where God's really given me a heart now. It's just, it's like I can't even get through. Even when I'm reading over my sermons, I'm crying. I'm like, okay, God, there's a reason why you're in Ephesians, why I'm teaching Ephesians. But I just want us to be strengthened and energized by the power of God. Because I sit there and I think of that upper room, and he said to go there and to wait. You know, they weren't just doing whatever. I think they were praying. Because when they were praying, that's when the power of God comes. And we've witnessed that. When we pray in unity, as body of believers, the power of God comes down. And he is manifested in our presence. And we see miracles. And we see those signs. And we see God answering those prayers in our life, the good reports. We see it happening. Because God is a God of love. And he loves us. And cares about us. And so that's the fullness of God. It's Jesus. We're just to be Jesus. I want to be full of Jesus so that people can see Jesus in me. And so when we're having a discussion, even if it's with a youth or somebody, and they're lost, they seem lost to the world, I can't give up on them. We can't give up on them. We've still got to show the love of Jesus. But we got to ask for wisdom too. But I'll tell you what, we got to break those things off of the kids too. Because I tell you that what this world is wanting our teenagers. It's wanting the generation. Because I'm telling you, we are living in the last days. And he is this generation that is born, I believe, they're going to see the coming of Jesus. And because we've heard it all our lives, haven't we, Mom? Way back and back, oh, Jesus is coming. And we're like, well, we're still here. 50 years later. 50 years later, we're still here. But I'm telling you, it's coming. And as Barry has been preaching on the end times and out of the book of Revelation, because most churches are afraid to preach out of that. Yeah, there's controversy. You got to read it for yourself. We can tell you this is what the Bible says. This is how we're interpreting. But nobody, Joseph Prince, like he said, and Andrew Womack, they can't agree if we're going to be here for the tribulation or we're not going to be here for the tribulation. Again, you've got to read it for yourselves. Let God reveal his word to you. We can't just assume that the pastor, because most people's like, well, I don't ever read my Bible. I just come to church on Sundays. Wow, what is your week like? I'm sorry, I want to say. Because they expect the pastor to feed them. Yeah, it says feed my flock. But guess what? You can't just have one meal a day. What's going to sustain you the rest of the week? I can be here to encourage you, but you've got to also make the choice. Because he said, here's the choice. You have to make it for yourselves. We can't go and be in heaven because of our mother was a Christian and her grandmother was a Christian and think that, well, I'm going to make it. Mm-hmm. Well, you may not. Again, it says in the Bible, some will stand before Jesus and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. What does that mean? Do that study. What does that truly mean, depart from me? What were those people? Truly that they believed in a God but didn't ask Jesus? I mean, what is that? Were they wishy-washy? I mean, think about it. It's like You start asking your questions as you're reading scriptures, and then you start your study, and you're going, oh, wow, and then you get to here and to there. But I'm telling you, study the Word of God. I have been so hungry for the Word of God lately, and God is just showing so much to me. And again, pick a book. I mean, I'm glad we you know, Sharon said, I think we need to start teaching out of Ephesians. And then everything kind of happened, and then I'm like, okay. With Sharon not being here, I'm like, okay, it's time to do Ephesians. And then I'm like, but really? And I even called her. I'm like, are you sure you're not supposed to teach out of Ephesians? She said, honey, you're supposed to teach out of Ephesians. And I said, I know it now. Because God was revealing so much to me. So, but I want to encourage you guys. And I just want to pray. So, God, I just thank you for each of the ladies here. God, I thank you for the outpouring of your love. God, the love that surpasses our knowledge and our understanding. And, God, the height, the depth, the width of your love that you have for each of us. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, when Jesus left this earth and went to heaven, he said, I have got a comfort. I've got something for you that I will always be with you, God. And he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And God, I thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. I thank you that he reveals things to us. He begins to give us understanding of your word. So God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that gift. God, we don't take it for granted. But God, I do pray that the Holy Spirit would be so powerful in each one of these women's lives. God, the dunamis power of God that would give them the power to stand and to speak your word. And when it's spoken, it's going to very change the atmosphere in the hearts of men and women that they come into contact with. And so, God, I just praise you, and I thank you for who you are. You are a good Father. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And, God, we are so honored that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for us. Love so great for each of us that if we were the only one on this earth, Jesus would have still died for that one person. That's the love and the depth of Jesus. And so God, help us to walk in the love of Jesus. God, help us to be able, when we're out and about, God, that people will see the true Jesus that lives in us. God, that they'll see a difference. God, that we won't be sitting on the fence and people wondering, I don't know if they're a Christian or not, but God, they'll know it by what we say. They'll know it by what we do, our walk, our emotions. God, I pray that you use us. God, your church, you wanted us to go out and to do the very thing that Paul was telling the church to do. Go out and spread the gospel. God, put a fire in us. A boldness to just walk up to someone and say, listen, I need to know if you know Jesus as your personal Savior. And if you don't, I want to pray with you. God, give us that Holy Ghost boldness. God, help us to get out of our comfort zones. God, we've been sitting in our pews in comfort for too long. And God, you're calling us to go out. And God, help us to be those that are obedient to your calling. And God, that we're not just hearers of your word, but God, we're doers of your word. And so God, I thank you and I praise you again for this word. And God, I pray that you hide it within our hearts. God, that you would bring revelation to each one of these ladies as they're studying the word of God. God, that you enlighten your word to them. God, that there's an excitement, God, of what they see and the revelation that you're bringing to them. God, we want your word alive. It says it's alive. So God, make it alive in us. God, we want it alive in us. We don't want it just sitting dormant We want the Word of God alive and active. God, that we're speaking it. And God, we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.